You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, episode 31, and thank you so much for tuning in. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Resident Evil 4. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, I would appreciate it if you would take a moment to do so. And I'd also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. And you can also find the show on Twitter and on Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. I am happy to be back and recording again after having last week off. I was away with my family, spending a week in Washington, D.C., one of my favorite cities. We spent a week visiting historic sites and eating great food and walking up and down the National Mall, going to the museums and seeing the monuments. It was great time, lots of fun. And while I didn't play any video games during my time away, not even on the airplane, I was thinking about them a bit because of a couple of games that I love that happen to be set in the capital city. First, of course, there's Fallout 3, which, from what I recall, did a pretty good job of recreating the major landmarks of the city. I hadn't yet been to DC when that game first came out, but looking back later, what I remember the most was the look of the DC Metro tunnels, which you spent a good amount of time in during the game. If you've been in those, in that metro, in those tunnels, you know, you kind of know that iconic look. The better game, though, for some virtual sightseeing is The Division 2, which really goes to some great lengths to get a lot of the small details right. From the mall to some of the museums, you spend a lot of time visiting real-world locations in the game. And if you know that city, it's pretty impressive. After we got back from DC, I reinstalled Division 2 just to run around a little bit in the city, and it's also still a really damn good game. I immediately found the metro stop near my hotel and walked the direction that I would take every night when we came home, going under the exact same bridge, by the same train tracks, and around the corner to the same hotel where I stayed off of the mall. And it was just really cool. I had to call the kids in to take a look, and they were impressed by just how close the game gets it. It looks really good. It's not exact, but it is close. And now I'm fighting the urge to get back into the Division 2. Resident Evil 4 is iconic. It's arguably the best game in the series, and a lot of people that I know would place it on their list of the best games of all time. It was also an inspiration for many of the big action games that followed in its footsteps, many of them copying that formula. And that's a lot to live up to when you are recreating a game for modern audiences. But Capcom has somehow done it again and released an absolutely fabulous remake of the classic. It is both very faithful to the original and also making it something that new players will be able to get into and enjoy. The game originally came out in 2005 as a GameCube exclusive, something that maybe seems slightly odd for Nintendo's purple lunchbox of a console, but Capcom was actually really close with Nintendo back then, and they released quite a few exclusives for the system. I remember when I first played it, you know, nearly 20 years ago, thinking that it seemed like such a radical departure from the games that came before it in the series. Gone were the pre-rendered backgrounds and the zombies and Raccoon City. And the gameplay was much more action-packed, more of a shooter as opposed to the, you know, ammo-conserving survival horror of the original games. It would have been really easy for them to screw this up and alienate fans of the original games, but the game was a masterpiece and set the tone for the series for years to come. Jumping into this remake, I will be the first to admit that my memory is not what it used to be. And aside from the opening hour or two of the game and a couple other big, you know, set pieces, I didn't actually remember a whole lot from this game. So, you know, besides looking it up, I wasn't sure how much of this new game was following the original to a T or where it was doing something new. This isn't like the remakes of RE2 or 3, where they were having to really rethink most of how those games worked because of their age. Resident Evil 4 was already a completely, you know, it was a competent 3D action game, which held up relatively well in recent years. So most of the changes are really cosmetic, and there are some tweaks to the formula. But they're, you know, they're smaller changes as opposed to a complete overhaul like the other games. So not having played it since 2005, it felt very familiar to me for the most part, which isn't bad. It just didn't have that wow of being a ground up redesign like the last couple of remakes. The game is still super fun and well-paced, and I actually enjoy the more action-packed focus of this game. It's a good balance, something that gets lost in later games like 5 and 6, which crank up the action to ridiculous levels. This game still manages to be thrilling one moment and scary the next. You won't need to worry much about ammo, if you plan smart, especially towards the end of the game, you know, go for the headshots. And I actually turned on some of the aim assist functions because it wasn't feeling quite right to me without them. So I'm glad more games are adding these features for those of us who want to make things just a little bit easier for us. The guns are really fun to use and to upgrade, and the creatures are disgusting and satisfying to blow into little juicy chunks. As far as story goes, you know, you probably know what you're getting into. It's a dumb, silly Resident Evil story. Granted, it's one with really great presentation and visuals and some pretty solid voice acting, but it's still dumb and silly, which, to be clear, is perfectly fine. I'm good with that. I like a big, dumb, stupid game from time to time. I mean, who would want? I know I wouldn't want a Resident Evil that was taking itself too seriously. So as a longtime fan of the series, I had a really great time revisiting this classic. It's a nice, shiny new coat of paint on a game that was already awesome. It's not really doing anything, you know, gameplay-wise that we haven't seen many times before. But it's doing it really good. But if you've never really clicked with the franchise, you know, if Resident Evil hasn't ever really done it for you, I don't know if this is going to change your mind. But if you are a fan like me who just wants a trip down a blood-soaked memory lane, I think you're going to be plenty satisfied. So this week saw the release of Redfall from Arkane Austin. I'm planning on checking out the game soon, and I will have an episode with my impressions coming up in a couple weeks probably. But the reviews that came out before the game released and a lot of the impressions from players since have been rough, let's say. The game is obviously not what they were hoping for, and it sounds like it was released before it was ready. Could have probably used some more time. I want to take a second, though, before we go, to give a shout out to the developers at Arkane. I truly believe that no developer out there sets out to make a bad game. Why would you? Or a disappointing one. They all want to make something that people will love and enjoy and have fun with. But that doesn't always happen for a number of reasons. It could be money, funding, or time, or bad management, or being overly ambitious. A game can go wrong for all sorts of reasons, but that doesn't mean that the people involved didn't care. I think very few of us really can understand the feeling of pouring your heart into a project for literally years of your life, being passionate about something and wanting it to be incredible, and then it comes out and people just don't like it. They're disappointed. They might even hate it. I can't imagine that feeling, really. I mean, I might have a bad day at work or a crappy episode of this show, but there's going to be a better one next week. This is years of their life, and people don't like the game. Professional critics and those of us, you know, content creators who take this seriously, obviously we have to tell the truth when talking about a game. Reviewing a game, you know, if we think it's boring or broken or whatever, you know, we've got to be honest about that. But what I don't like is when people use a bad game as an excuse to drive traffic or get clicks with insults or, you know, snarky, demeaning headlines. Stomping on them while they're down for the sake of attention is just, it's pathetic. So, you know, let's remember that these are people too. Let's show a little compassion for what is probably a pretty tough time for them. And let's root for them to be able to pick themselves back up and create something great the next time. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. You can catch new episodes every Thursday morning, wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, if you like the show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. And you can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where we go by Midlife SQ. So until next time, be well and keep playing.